Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parents in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. This episode is brought to you by National Rail.
Rob, you'll never guess where I went for a cheeky weekend break with the family recently.
Stiff Neck Central?
I don't need a train to go there. Every day is Stiff Neck Central in this house. No, we went on a lovely trip back to the motherland, Devon.
Very nice. How was the drive down?
Non-existent, mate. It was a relaxing train journey all the way from it.
Get closer to the people, places and things you love by train. Nothing beats being there.
This episode is brought to you by O2.
Josh, what would you say is the most important thing over the festive period?
Oh, it's spending quality time and catching up with family and loved ones.
One of the best ways to connect for less this Christmas is with O2. Check out savings across a great range of handsets and devices.
Mate, I've just had a look and you can save up to £500 on the Samsung Galaxy S22 Ultra. Connect for less this Christmas with O2.
Visit the O2 website or in store. Hello, you're listening to Parent in Hell with...
Can you say Rob Beckett?
Come on, not chicken. Here's my 2-year-old Violet doing the intro. I also have a 5-year-old called Scarlett. My top tip to share is to write down the crazy things your under five say, such as, your legs are all smooth, mummy, I like them better when they're like a tree. That is absolutely brutal. Love your podcast, Leanne, Northamptonshire.
Oh, Leanne. Yeah, that is...
How are you?
Brutal. Yeah, I'm good, not too bad. How are you?
VV okay.
Are you been working too much? Quite chilled? Busy?
Half, really. It's been all right.
It's been fine, Rob. How are the kids?
Fine, Rob.
Yeah.
I've not got anything to fill this 10 minutes.
Pardon?
This 10-minute intro. I've just not got anything, Rob.
Okay.
I just thought I'd fess up. Okay. Should I just fess up and be honest? I've got nothing.
This is what this show's about, being honest with the listeners. Should we do some correspondence then?
I'm panicking,
It's
Rob.
Better than you invent it. Let's do this, right? We'll do correspondence, but pretend now that your whole career is based off talking about your kids, and you have to have something, but now invent something.
Okay, yeah.
And pretend you never guess what they did earlier. Oh, what did they do, Josh?
Fine. Yeah. My daughter has been cautioned by the police.
How has she? What for?
Joyriding.
Really? What was it, a scooter? Yeah.
No, it was a... she had a booster seat, but in a Ford Escort.
Right, a Ford Escort, a car that hasn't been made for 20 years?
I panicked, Rob. That's your issue with that story?
That's your issue with that story. Yeah, let's stick to being honest. Correspondence?
Okay, cool. Yeah, thank you.
Here we go, right, what we got here? Hello. Just listened to your latest episode and discussion on home birth. I'm a midwife and had a home birth for our third baby last summer. Regarding the water issue, the water is pumped via tubing connected to the tap for filling up the pool. Can only assume the guy in the story is unsure how to fill it as no midwives had arrived. After the birth, and once mum is on the sofa / bed, our sofa was brand new, so we kept the plastic wrapping on to use for the birth. That's clever.
You
don't want to start ruining a new G plan, do you?
No.
With all sorts. The water is then pumped directly down the toilet.
Oh.
Definitely not recommended that it is pumped into the garden, though, as midwives get this all the time as the question. As well as also getting asked if we can use a paddling pool instead of hiring a birthing pool. Oh, my God. You've got to invest in a home birth pool,
in for
surely.
A penny, in for a pound. If you're home birthing, come on. The money you save on a taxi and snacks.
Exactly. Those hospital and petrol price sandwiches are a disgrace.
Yes.
She said, you have to use a home birth one. Do you want to hear about a panic attack at Asda?
Yep.
Hey, sexy boys. I'm a mum to a gorgeous 17-month-old son, Adam. I absolutely love your podcast and I've listened from the beginning. Anyway, I just had to pause today's episode and write this as the topic of panic attacks brought back a memory that I had apparently suppressed. A few years ago, I had a lot going on over an extended period of time. Yada, yada, yada. Not going to get into the nitty gritty. It all had got too much for me.
Did she say that or you?
Me, actually. I read it and I thought, you know what? Fuck off, you bore. No, she's written that.
Right, okay,
I'm fucking
good.
Banging on about your life.
She's written a heartfelt description.
Then he had another affair. Yeah, whatever. Zip it, lock it, fuck off. Who cares? Go and tell someone who gives a shit. No, I'm joking. The author of this. Said yada 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 yada. I'm not going into the nitty gritty. It all got too much for me. I nipped to Asda to just grab a couple of things, but once in the aisles, I completely forgot what I needed. Cue full blown panic attack and emotional breakdown. I ended up on the floor sobbing and shaking like a lost toddler, and people were avoiding my aisle altogether. Oh, some what? People are brutal, aren't they? Afterwards,
they put some of those cones around her. That was the worst bit.
Put sawdust on her like sick. Is this insensitive? We're talking about a poor woman that's opening up a panic attack.
We've opened up and we've made jokes.
We talked about our panic attacks. So. Anyway, they didn't do any of that. Anyway, she's being avoided by people on the floor, upset. After what seemed like a lifetime, a lady who tried to comfort me and suggested that I call someone. I called my mum, who as always calmed me down and took me through my next steps. Which involved stand up, leave Asda. Oh dear. Go to her house and wait for her to come home. Oh, bless her. Oh, that's nice. She could bring her mum. And glad that you can share. I think being able to share it shows progress because you're not ashamed of it or embarrassed. And I think if you're not ashamed or embarrassed of anything, you can get things sorted. So I hope you're feeling better now. Please don't send any of that fucking nitty gritty, for God's sake. I'm joking. You can always send nitty gritty to us
and
we'll read
it if you
want.
Send as much nitty or gritty as you want.
Yeah. And if it's just pure nit, that's fine too, or pure grit, we can take
pure
it.
Pure grit, yeah.
Have you got enough one here? Hi, Rob and Josh. Firstly, love a podcast. I'm so behind, I don't want to miss one. You have me laughing so hard. This is good. So all new time lockdown low for me. My eldest 4 years was dying to go.
They're that far behind that they're sending a lockdown, aren't they?
No, they're talking about. Was talking about low points. So when you've had a bit of, loads come in. So I'm trying to do a few of them.
Oh, sorry.
Because people have opened up and we've never really read it out, which makes me feel bad. So anyway, this was my all-time lockdown low for me. My eldest 4 years was dying to go to local park, which has recently been done up. We decided to go down on a cold day. Who hasn't? Whilst my mum pushed my youngest in the pram, 10 months old. My son and I were having a great time until he announced he needed a wee. No problem, we nipped behind a tree and did the deed. No sooner were we back at the sandpit, he announced he needed a poo.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't mind, but firstly, the park has no toilets, and secondly, my mum, who had the baby wipes, was on the other side of the park with the youngest. Me and my son legged it across the park, hunting for a bush or tree, I found the bushiest one we could. I saw my mum in the distance and shouted, "I need the wipes. He needs a poo. I don't have any poo bags." My mum walked over, throwing the wipes in the air and shouted, "Dig a hole and bury it." Needless to say, I was scratching around in the dirt for a big enough stick.
Oh, my God.
As my son decided to do the world's biggest, longest poo.
Of course.
I found myself digging a hole to bury my son's poo. Not before accidentally sticking my finger in it.
Oh no.
With no alcohol gel to be seen. Needless to say, we went home early with my son shouting, "Nana, I did a poo and my mummy stuck her finger in it before hiding it in the ground."
Oh my God.
I won't be going back to the park for a while. Lou the poo. That's Louisa Boulez. Full name there. She sent it in though. Scratching a hole for your child to shit in it. I mean, that is love, isn't it?
That is love, Rob. I hope you do the same for me.
I don't think I saved you though. I don't know about being sick at that party once. I don't know if we're allowed to talk about it.
We've talked about it before.
Yeah. And I cleared up all your sick that you produced on the way to the toilet.
Would you clear up my poo?
Probably, yeah.
Thanks, mate.
Mainly because I can't really deal with you being cancelled. Also, I just don't want to be associated with a man that shits himself in hallways at Christmas parties.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You've chosen the wrong double act partner.
If you did a poo on the floor and you were like, you weren't compass mentis to sort it out, I would clear it up for you.
Oh, I thought, would you stick your finger in it?
No, I wouldn't dig a hole. I'd probably get some tissue and pick up the poo and pop it down the toilet.
Yeah, fair enough.
But if we were outside, yes, I would dig one with my fingers. Would you dig a hole for me?
In a heartbeat. quick question.
Yeah.
Is that the right way for us to go into Anton Dubec?
I think he's seen enough.
To clear the,
he's seen the people dig themselves holes on the Strictly dance floor.
That's nice. Yeah.
And then, you know, is that good?
I think that is nice.
It does feel weird. He is so slick, so wonderful, and so immaculate. We can't deliver you Anton Dubec after talking about digging a hole for human shit, can we? Yes, we can.
Here we go.
Here is Anton Dubec. I'm very excited about this. We are joined by television royalty. Everyone loves this man, Anton Dubec. Anton, I want to say thank you for how lovely you were to my daughters when they came to Strictly, because you had so much time for them. You were so friendly, and everyone was. But I don't know, you've got a sort of, a real classy presence that you don't really see as much anymore. And you came into that room and you were so lovely to the girls, and they still like talk about you. You looked amazing. They come in and they absolutely loved you before, but afterwards you're their favorite now, and you're so sweet and kind. And it is hard when you're on Strictly and everyone wants a bit of you and things like that to do that all the time, but you were so classy. It was unbelievable. So thank you very much for making it special for them.
Well, that's kind of you. I mean, that's lovely. And thank you for saying that. I mean, that's a lovely thing to say. Do you know, it's just sort of normal, really, because I think about Brucey a lot in the world of showbiz. And whenever you use the word showbiz, I just think about Brucey. And he was a great hero of mine and a great sort of influence on my sort of career, really. Because when I had the great fortune of starting in showbiz, if you like, having already had a bit of another sort of career, a bit like Fred Astaire had two careers that people will probably won't remember. But he was he was a child star, and he went into the theatre, musical theatre, on the other. And then that career ended. He had that with his life, with his sister. That was his first part of his life. And then she went off and got married. And he didn't know what to do because he was a double act. And then suddenly stumbled into the movies. And that classic line about did a screen test. Can't act, can dance a bit. And then, of course, he, you know, became Fred Astaire as we think of him today. And it's similar in my regard, is that I had quite a long career as a competitive dancer. So traveling around the world, competing and dancing and doing that. And then I came into Strictly Come Dancing a bit later and into telly, if you like, but having sort of did it immediately with Brucey, my hero. So immediately, I'm looking at the master of the art, and I've always loved him from afar and sort of wanted to sort of be a bit Brucey in what I did. I love that sort of thing of being in front of an audience and doing, you know, entertaining, singing and dancing, doing a few gigs. I love that. I love that whole variety sort of affair. But of course it wasn't around before Strictly. Yeah. That didn't sort of exist. It was a bit, it was of another time, etc. And we didn't have turns like that anymore. We had either straight comedians, you guys, for example, straight comedians who are funny and brilliant and do what you do. And then you had either singers. And hilariously, everybody wants to be something else as well. Actors want to be rock stars and rock stars want to be actors, sort of classically. And so I stumbled into Strictly Come Dancing, or came into Strictly Come Dancing, and immediately with the best, with Brucey. Amazing. And I was lucky enough. I don't know if you've ever worked with any of your sort of comedy heroes from before.
Yeah, Josh is used to it now. He's relaxed in my company, Josh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a lovely thing that you've kept him on for. And and so you learn immediately and from the best. And it's a style of thing that I love. So whenever I'm doing stuff, I just think about not being like Brucey, but how would Brucey be? Brucey would be classy, and Brucey would, you know, it's that classic thing. You'd want people to be as you wish they were, which sounds contrived. And I don't want it.
It's not contrived at all. I think you feel like there's a responsibility to be doing that, especially when you're at Strictly. But it's such a busy, crazy event. You'd be well within your rights to go, right, it's a live show. I need to be left alone. And I go to my room and do all that. But you sort of, you look very much like you're just floating through it. And I think that comes across on the screen. And that's why people love it.
Is it less stressful doing the judging now than it was doing the dancing?
I mean, your weeks are shorter, that's for sure. It's very, very different, really, because when you're with a partner, my attitude about being with a partner was really kind of asking, was it was all about her. That was the most important thing. So I was always focusing all my energy on her. But a part of my energy was going, okay, what do we need in order for this to work? So you're making sure, okay, but still you're setting up the scenario that it's going to be successful. So you've got to, you know, there's got to be an amount of calmness and there's got to be about amount of focus. And, you know, this partner you have might be a bit of a scatterbrain and might be want to go off. But there is a moment there where you've got to bring them back in and go, okay, let's just focus on this for a second now, because in 5 minutes we're going to go on. I don't know if you know. And so there is a bit of that. And then some people are a bit quiet and calm and you've got to sort of get them out of themselves a little bit. So you have to understand your partner, but know what's about to happen. So sort of be in the moment, as people describe it now. And so that's quite exhausting. And of course, there's always that sort of realization at some stage you're probably going to get voted off. And that's quite upsetting. That part I don't have to do anymore, which I'm delighted about. But with the judging, of course, you've got to concentrate on every couple who's dancing, and you've got to try, concentrate, pay attention, and try and find something useful that will help them moving forward.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to just sort of sit there and give it all that with a lovely jacket on and go, I'm amazing, look at me, how fabulous am I? Did you know I'd won an award? Give it all that.
Name it, no names.
What did you think of that? Go, oh, I didn't really look, I have to be honest. Yeah.
Anton, can I ask a question before we'll get on to your kids and parenting? Mm. But have you ever been in lined up, you know, on the dance off, and you may stay, you may go, and obviously you always want to stay with them, but have you ever been stood there thinking, well, next Wednesday afternoon, a few of my pals are going to the pub. So I know I've got you back on Saturday, but that wouldn't be the worst thing to happen.
I've got a round golf book on Wednesday. I wonder if I can get that.
Dropped you there. We missed a step. Never mind.
It wasn't a very good one anyway. You're fine. I say this seriously, I'd like to say, just to be funny, that it didn't matter, but it really matters. Even if you've got somebody who's not, you know, in your heart of heart, this isn't great, and I'll probably be available for Panto at Christmas. This is, you hope that the audience at home will vote you through, or you hope she might find something, or you hope that people love the number. And still, from day one to the last time I did it, getting voted off was the worst thing.
Really?
And I love that. I never had a moment anywhere where I went, maybe I'll give this one some. It'd be better for both of us if somebody just voted us off. And I'm glad about that, because otherwise I'd probably have gone, oh, I shouldn't be doing this anymore.
But I always felt.
And you watch the show on Saturday night, and the guys and the girls are jumping up and down with delight at getting through. But I just love to see how excited and delighted they are with getting through. I mean, Graziano, you think it was the best competition he's ever danced in his life. You think it was the World Championship. He was so delighted to get through. And you don't want to go home. And that's why the show works so well. The pros really care, and they always have. And I think that's really important.
This episode is brought to you by O2.
Josh, what would you say is the most important thing over the festive period?
Oh, it's spending quality time and catching up with family and loved ones.
One of the best ways to connect for less this Christmas is with O2. Check out savings across a great range of handsets and devices.
Mate, I've just had a look and you can save up to £500 on the Samsung Galaxy S22 Ultra. Connect for less this Christmas with O2.
Visit the O2 website or in store.
So we should. I mean, we've got loads of Strictly questions.
That was the longest we've done, not about children, but he is on the biggest show in the country that everyone's obsessed with. So I think that's fair. I think Strictly's at the right for a 10-minute thing at the start. Right, now, let's talk about your kids. How many kids have you got, Anton, and what age?
Now, I've got two children. I've got twins, a boy and a girl, George and Henrietta, and they're 5 and a half, as you know, with young children. It's very important. There'll be six in March. It's over 5 months. There'll be six in March, end of March. And at the moment, it's half term. I don't know when this is going out, but we've got half term at the moment.
Yeah.
And they've both had colds. Of course they have. Lurgy, because they're at school and all children get the lurgy and they pass it around. It's like a game. You can have it again, though. Oh, really? I'm afraid you've got to have it again.
And I just can't believe something so small can produce that much to not. It's like an endless supply. Where's it been like? A huge one could come out that fills your whole hand and you're trying to find somewhere for it. It happens after, but what's in your head? Where's it coming from?
I worry about turning them upside down and then drowning. in their own sight. I keep them the right way up.
And do they enjoy school? Are they in the, because they're twins, so they're like, that's quite, must be quite interesting watching them go through it together. So like on their first day of school, you're not just worrying about one, you're worrying about two different people.
And it's really interesting because they're a boy and a girl. I never think of them as twins at all, actually. And they used to go to the same school to get in nursery together and all that sort of stuff. And then they went to the sort of reception year at school and they went to separate schools.
Yeah.
Went to a boy and a girl. But they are sort of side by side. They're sort of, you know, you do a one drop off at 10 past eight and at 20 past eight, you do the other drop off. You know, you just go and you see all the school mums at one drop off. You go down the road and a lot of them got children in the other, they've got boys and girls. And then the other school as well. And they're both lovely schools and they're doing wonderfully and they're enjoying it. But it really is. I mean, when we had them little, we didn't do that whole, okay, pink for girls, blue for boys, and because it's too much stuff.
Yeah.
So it was a case of this is the stuff, you choose what you want.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff, clothes, toys. And it is funny, you know, I promise you, we never bought particularly sort of gender-specific clothes either, something that fit, because you know in 4 weeks they're going to grow out anyway.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is hand-me-down stuff. I mean, you've got friends who have got children and they a year or two older and they go, oh, hey, I've got some pile of clothes. If you'll try, I'll have that. Thank you very much. And I know there's one jacket George had. It's on its fourth child at the moment. It's a lovely bit of quality. It's a nice Boss jacket. Oh, it's a nice Boss. Oh no, it's a proper bit of kit. And but it was someone gave it to us. We gave it to someone else, and it's now on the fourth child, and it looks good, isn't it?
Because they only wear it about four times each, don't they?
Yeah.
And it's a winter coat. I mean, you get one winter out of it, and that's it.
Yeah.
But next winter, it's about it. So off they go, and it goes off to another thing. But it's really amazing how the children gravitate towards. You know, she's all about dollies and cousin boys, and he's all about Ninjago and all that sort of stuff. And it's very, very interesting. We went through Hot Wheels for a phase. Now it's all about Ninjago. Quite boy, traditionally boy and girl sort of civic things. They watch the same sort of programs, although he's, as I say, Ninjago mad at the moment. I mean, Ninjago. Brilliantly, and she's a Peter Rabbit is a sort of staple, and then we have all the sort of movies. Daddy's favourite is Paddington. Paddington.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so that's... we all watch Paddington. Paddington Bear, Paddington. And so most mornings we do a duet with Gary Barlow, which is lovely. And it's really interesting though. It's lovely, but it's really interesting.
You said that Paddington's your favourite. So do you have a say in the TV? I have literally no way of steering my daughter's TV taste. And if I were to say, I'd like to watch Paddington, it would actively make her not want to watch it, I think.
How old?
She's five.
Oh, geez. It is a volatile age. I tend to say to them, it's either we watch Paddington now for 10 minutes or I'm going to put you in the greenhouse again. And
the whole that's where I've gone wrong. That's where I've gone wrong.
I think it's all I've had to be a very firm line.
Yeah. Josh will start building a greenhouse. You don't even need one, Josh. Just lie.
In zone two, you haven't got room for a greenhouse, Rob. That's your old garden. Then you've just got that's a conservatory. That's what you've got.
Conservatory. I'm lucky because they like Paddington, so I do. But I have to say, that literally is the only thing. That is. I'm absolutely with you. That is literally the only thing. And only if I catch them in a good mood, if they've had Cocoa Pops. Otherwise, I have no control over.
How was it when they were little, though? Like, obviously, newborn babies are hard work, but twins. Was it double the trouble, or was it just nice to sort of almost go like, oh, we've got two straight off the bat?
Well, I it's very difficult, really, because you see things through rose-tinted spectacles a lot.
Yeah.
I know I do. I thought it was a breeze. I thought, oh, no, it was marvellous. It was the easiest pie. If you spoke to my wife, she might give you a different version. And one might say slightly more accurate. But...
so when yours were born, was you dancing on Strictly still then? So was your diary really busy?
So they were in March. They were end of March. So I was on tour.
Oh, that was quite lucky. Oh, you were on tour?
I was doing the end of my tour. So I had one more week to go. They were born on the Monday. And they stayed in because they were a bit little, so they stayed in for a week, which was amazing because I had a few more shows to do. And I spent the rest of the week, and about three or four more shows that week. And then I gathered them all up on the Sunday, and we went home. But it was great because it was great for Hannah and great for the children because, you know, it does seem quite brisk to have a baby and the following day you're taking it home.
Yeah, it's quite intense.
In normal circumstances, and you go, okay, hoping for a little bit of coaching before I left the building, but I'm sure I can work this out as I go along. But Hannah, I'll say this straight away, Hannah is remarkable. My wife Hannah is remarkable. One, for having twins, can I just say that?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's quite stunning. And just being a great, great mum as well. And she makes everything fun and she's really brilliant. But I feel like we were lucky that we had them together because you're doing it all at the same time.
Yeah.
If you've got more, I think if there's two of you, and I was able to be around certainly for the first maybe 6 months, I think I was around as well. So it was a bit easier in that regard. Although if I say that to you, Hannah might go, really? 6 months.
Well, you timed it pretty well, though. If your tour finished in March, when like 1 week, but she was still in the hospital, and then you're sort of clear till September time for Strictly, aren't you?
I had some time there. You know, it's like in our industry, it's sort of feast or famine a little bit, really.
Yeah.
You know, we were lucky. The children were good as well. They got into a routine pretty quick. But it was a joyous thing, maybe because we're a bit older, but Rose tinted.
Well, how old was you when you had them?
I was 50.
Wow, yeah.
I was actually 50. I was 50 when we had the children. So it was, you know, it was... But having said that, I was a bit more sensible and a bit more settled. And
You weren't going, my hell-raising youth. No. I've lost it.
You're like... No, that's the end of my life.
What was the 28-year-old... What was a 28-year-old or 30-year-old Anton de Beck like?
I was
the same?
Really, really poor for a start off.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, like, and holes in my shoe, you know, secondhand shirts, all that sort of stuff. As a young man, and also not equipped, and two, an absolute lunatic as well, like competitive animal,
ambitious,
lunatic,
yeah,
ambitious. Driven, focused solely on me and what I was going to be doing, my next competition, we've got to win this. I hate everyone. Let me just start with that. Everyone's against me. Everyone was against me. I was an absolute lunatic.
So what happened? Because that couldn't be more of a description of a different person to the one that's sat here now, or was on, you know, it's been across our screens.
Well, Strictly Come Dancing started, really. When I started Strictly, I was still, you know, I just came back from China. We were in China doing a big competition in China over there. And then they came back and they said, you're starting Strictly Come Dancing. All right, brilliant. And we just thought it'd be 5 minutes and that'd be like one series, that'd be it.
Yeah.
And we got from Rich to Life. And it was such a massive hit and everyone knows the sort of history. And we did a second series in Strictly Come Dancing in year one. So we did one in the sort of, March, April, and then the second one now.
Right.
And so I never competed again. I didn't sort of retire. I just sort of never went back to it because then we started doing Strictly and things started to change. And it's one of these things, if you get off that treadmill of competitive life, it's really difficult to get back on because you want to go back where you left off, but you've got some catching up to do. So we sort of never went back. And I realised on Strictly Come Dancing, as I said before, that this wasn't about me. This was about my celebrity. I didn't have to prove myself. I was already, you know, I was already a professional. That's why they signed me, because I was good.
Right? Yeah.
So let's, you know, so don't go and say, oh, look how good I am. No one cares.
So it's almost like the selection for that answered that negative voice in your head that you were trying to silence through competition wins.
Yeah, potentially. But it became a really different focus. My focus on me was now do the best you can for your partner. Because what would upset me more than anything else in the world is if they turned around and went, I really hated that experience. I wish I'd danced with someone else. Yeah. I would have been mortified. So I was really trying to just make the best experience for my partner. And then we rolled in the second one and rolled in the third one. So I calmed down a bit in that regard, and, you know, just generally, and then had, again, the work of Brucey, et cetera, and all that, and a different sort of, you know, life changes, as you guys will experience. Yeah. I don't know if you ever did the clubs, the old school sort of thing, and then suddenly become a famous television comic. You know, things change. And then, you know, I get a bit older, and I met Hannah, et cetera, and then, yeah, I was a sort of different guy, different focus and perspective on life. You know?
So it worked out timing-wise. What you're saying is, if Strictly hadn't come along, you'd still be out there competing.
I'd still be absolutely... I can't use some words because I'm bad at something.
How would that behaviour manifest? Would you be rude to people, or would you, like, sulk after losing, or how would it manifest that?
I wasn't a great loser. The thing that's upset me more than anything else was dancing badly. You can't help, you know, you can't help the mark. So if somebody beats you, you sort of presume they were great. My attitude is don't watch them.
Yeah.
For example,
if
I'm final, let's say you have six couples, you're trying to make the final, and I miss out, and I'm in semi-final. Don't watch the final, because you'll look at people and go, he's terrible, what's he doing over there? He's awful, what's the state of him? I can't believe that beat him. Well, that's purgatory, don't do that. Just leave it. Just let
them.
Just claim that it was the greatest final you'd ever seen in your life. and I was so close, you know. So I would, and it still upsets me now, really, is just dancing badly. So I'm on stage and I'm performing. I hate it when it's bad. I have to work at it, you know, and I spend, you know, time and effort and the determination of being as good as I can be remains.
Do you see that, any of those instincts in your children at 5 and a half?
Yeah.
You do?
Oh, yeah. Henrietta likes things to be so.
Yeah.
And if she's wanting to show you something, you have to give it full concentration. You have to. She's quite frustrated. If George wants to tell you something and Henrietta interrupts him, or you try and interrupt him, or whatever it is, he's really frustrated. So I see a level of frustration in children that I can see. I go, hello.
Yeah.
We'll have to talk about that. I can see now. This, as Moana once said, I see what's happening here. so it is interesting, but they are Hannah and I, we do look at the children and they do certain things, and we do have that, I think all parents do, where they go, that's you, that is.
Yeah,
or she goes, that's you, that is. Invariably the bad behavior turns out to be me, randomly.
And have they shown any interest in dancing?
Yeah, love it. They love the show as well.
Yeah.
Love watching the show. Henrietta is very good at understanding the couples. George just watches the show as an overview. She's really into the couples. She knows the couples.
Yeah.
She likes Tyler and Diane, and she likes Richie and Giovanni. She liked them, you know. And so she knows Giovanni as well, because, you know, Giovanni and I've been on tour and stuff, so she likes Giovanni. And so it's really, and George as well, it's really interesting. It's funny, actually, with children. They say things to you. I was in the car the other day. Let me find out this thing, what she said to me. If you have a two-letter word, like pharmacy, and there's two letters in the beginning of the word that come together to make another sound, do you know what that's called?
No.
Is it like a trigraph or something?
No, I didn't know what it was called. I didn't even know they had a word for it.
Yeah.
And we're sat in the car outside the pharmacy, and Hannah went in and was there, and she's trying to say the word pharmacy. I said, pharmacy, darling. The PH makes an F.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, Daddy, that's a such and such. Let me find out what that is.
A digraph.
Digraph.
Digraph. Yeah, I thought it was trigraph, digraph. I've heard them knocking around in the old phonics newsletters we've been getting. I'm the class rep, so I'm sort of down with this kind of stuff, actually.
Go on, kid.
Yeah, whatever.
And I Googled it just to make sure. She was absolutely right. Look, I doubted her. I have never even heard of it. I have the audacity to Google to check up on my father's daughter of a word I've never heard of, because I think she's got it wrong. Oh, yeah, nice. Oh, yeah, Dad. My suggestion is don't get involved in the homework, Daddy.
Well, are you tempted to go? Because we're going to talk about your book, The Ballroom Blitz. Are you tempted to go, how do I not know that? I'm a Sunday Times bestselling novelist. and you're a 5.5-year-old. And we're similar times bestselling novelists as well, Rob. We didn't know either. We're not novelists, but you know,
authors.
How many books have you done now? Is it like 5 or 6 now?
That's the fifth. The fifth one. In novels, and I've done a couple of other books as well. Learn to Dance, sort of teaching about dancing, books about dancing. But this is the fifth in the novels in the continuing saga. Although they are stranded alone, so I don't know if you read the Jack Reachers, the Lee Child Jack Reacher.
Yeah,
they're brilliant. You read them because they're great. And he has this one main character who goes through all the books, but each book is a standalone. Although you understand the continuous story. And the same with these, but I was inspired by that in this regard. Yeah. I didn't want people to feel obliged, because once you get to 5, if people haven't read 1, I'm too far.
It's like me with The Sopranos. Like, because I wasn't there from the start, I'm like, 63 hours of TV, I'm never going to... It's too big a thing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So these novels are all standalone. So even if you haven't read any of the others, you can read this one and you'll be fine. You'll be absolutely fine, because they're just great novels with the backdrop. I mean, this one set during the Blitz. And
it's a hefty size, isn't it?
It's a beauty. Yeah. I mean, that'll keep your door open. And
a couple of diagraphs in there of it.
Oh, a plenty. And it is it's a continuing saga of the Buckingham Hotel and the ballroom there, but all the shenanigans of the upstairs and downstairs of the hotel, and all the people in the hotel, and what's going on during the Blitz, and sort of bigger story of the war going on in Europe. So it is it's a great read, even if I say so much.
Are you fascinated by that as a time? Like, is that kind of?
I am, actually. Yeah, I am. Because when I started, I said it. The first one I did was 1936. I'm fascinated by the first part of the last century anyway. It was such a quick... I mean, we started the century with Queen Victoria, and by the time we get to the 50s, we're almost into our fourth monarch. In not too distant future, we've got a man on the moon. And we started by lighting the street lamps by candlelight. Speediness of the change of time.
I mean, we have had 4 prime ministers in 2 weeks currently.
And is the book out now?
Book's out now.
And so you've done 1936, 1937, 1938. So this is 1940. So if you continue doing these books for long enough, you'll get to the point where it Strictly exists.
I'll be speaking about the first series of Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah.
But the thing about these books, where they're set in real life times, is you're not allowed to rewrite history. That's the thing. You can't go. And in 1942, it was May 1942, and Raymond, our intrepid hero, went to Germany and shot Hitler. And the world was a better place. As much as we'd like that to have happened, can't actually happen. But if I write about Strictly Come Dancing in the future, I will write that I won one. So
I think that would be a great book. It'd be called Anton de Berg, The Strictly I Won, and just like the fictional funny story.
With you, we've talked about, like, obviously with Strictly and with the books as well, there's the Anton Dubek kind of feel of this kind of old school, the showbiz, the kind of the classiness. Does that come into the home life? I mean, we can see you're sat in front of some lovely curtains. You've got you've got fresh flowers behind you.
Yeah, look at that.
That's wonderful. We should take a screenshot to share on Instagram so people can see. But it looks beautiful. It looks like a 5-star hotel.
How do you combine that with young children?
Oh, you keep them out of the room.
Is this just one beautiful locked off shot, and then the rest of the house is absolutely?
This is
calm.
One of those things you get on the computers, on the things. everybody probably has it. I don't know. We're fortunate enough to have a few rooms. We've got when we bought the house, we bought it as a sort of a forever home because we got a bit of space. We live, out in Buckinghamshire, so we've got a nice-sized garden. We inherited this wonderful garden as well. And, you know, in the house we have a dining room, a separate dining room as well, but we've turned it into a children's room, so the children's room. So they have a room of their own. The house, apart from the main living room, which is quite a nice-sized living room, the rest of the house is, and the children got their room. The rest of the house, well, the children can do what they do. Hannah works from home in the office at the end there. So it's okay, you know. We have an understanding. We don't have toys all over the house.
But you've got one. Is that living room off-limits?
This one is the off-limits room, really.
Right.
Obviously, you can come in. We allow you to come in for half an hour a day. let's not bring everything in with you. Leave it in the children's room. The children's room, you have all the toys you want in there. I mean, I had a thing like last year. Hannah and the children went away for a week. I was working, so I had to stay here. They went away on holiday for a week with Granny and Granddad. Where is it? We've got the garage, but the garage has become a dumping ground. So what I did is I've got a skip.
Yep.
You ever do this? I've got a skip in the drive.
Yeah.
And the children's room, I couldn't see the floor in the children's room. Yeah. The playroom. And the garage, I couldn't get in just with crap. So I went in and I turfed all this stuff out. Garage was lovely. Children's room was all gorgeous and I did a bit of tidying up, so it looked like I'd just tidied up. I literally filled the skip with stuff. Took it away. They came back. No one noticed.
No. Amazing.
The suggestion we've got too much stuff springs to mind.
Yeah.
And I think that really. And I'm on the verge of doing it again. Actually, I'm just going to find a way of doing it. But nonsense.
You're also super well turned out, and the ways that, like, even like you in your down clothes today looks very. It's very smart. 3/4 length zip, nice jumper. How about the kids? Are they like in smart clothes going out and about, or do you just let them truck a tracksuit on and stumble?
Yeah,
out
the children are great. They're very funny, actually. George is very clothes conscious, funnily enough.
Yeah,
and. Rara, Henrietta we call Rara. When they were little and George was just starting to speak, he couldn't say Henrietta. He used to call her Rara. So that became her nickname. So she loves a pretty dress. Daddy, I want to wear a pretty dress. So, darling, it's a bit cold outside. Can't you wear these trousers? Daddy, I want a pretty dress. Okay, so we let the tights go on and the pretty dresses go on. Cards go on. So, but they're pretty good. George is very, very conscious of colour coordination, which is amazing. He likes things to go.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I love that because that sounds like me.
What about Hannah? Is she similar to you with want stuff to look sort of very neat and presentable and smart and stuff, or is she a bit more casual?
Yes, to a degree. She's less sort of, you know, Hannah's always has an, because Hannah's a bit more from the country than I am. So she has a bit more of the, what's the expression once used, which made me go like that? Oh, not sure I can do that. Functional.
Oh, functional. that's not Anton.
Oh, that sounds like Agent Provocateur meets Millet.
I can't imagine you ever going out anything creased. Are you a big ironer, Anton?
Yeah, iron and starch. If it gets anywhere near me, it's going to be starched at some stage. I do like starch.
So do you starch yourself, or do you get people to starch for you, or do you do it perfectly?
I do it perfectly. I spend a long time doing it. I tend to have it done. If I have an emergency, I'm happy to starch myself.
When was your last starch emergency, Anton? Have you had an emergency?
The weekend show day. I didn't. Yeah. I had to. One of my dress shirts wasn't done properly, so I had to emergency redo. But I'm a great prepper of clothes. Right. I have everything prepped and ready. You know what they do when you turn up for stuff, shows and stuff, and they go, what are you going to be wearing? And they go, we'll take that and prep that for you. Oh, no, don't worry, it's done. No, don't be touching it now. It's fine. Don't take it out of there. You're going to steam it, you say. No, let's not do that. Give it back to me.
That's the opposite of me, whereas I see it as the opportunity to finally get something ironed. That's what I do. I'll take 3 shirt options and I'll go iron all 3 and I'll decide. And I go home with 2 iron shirts. It's an absolute win. What do you wear for the school run, Anton?
School run's great. We both do the school run. We've got a lovely nanny as well that we have. Who's terrific. We just started a couple of months ago. And because I've been out on tour and, I've been, you know, it's been busy. But and Hannah's having to work from home and she works a fair amount with the US as well. So for timings and stuff. So
yeah,
for safety, Mr. and Mrs. Dubeck, George is still at school. Yes, we know. You couldn't just keep him there a bit longer, could you? No, no, it's 7 o'clock. Oh, yeah, right. No idea. I'll be with you shortly. So, the safety, we've got, and she does a lot of the school runs, but just in case we can't do it. But we like to do them, and don't mind.
What do you wear, fun, Anton? Do you ever just put on jogging bottoms for the school run?
Oh, no, dear.
Okay.
I thought you said jogging bottom then.
Got iron jeans and a polo shirt. That's what I'm guessing, something like that.
Oh, there has to be some element of cashmere. certainly this time of year.
Yeah. And do you wear shorts? You're a shorts wearer?
Oh, in the summer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't wear it this year. I don't think it's necessary. Yeah, I've got lovely legs, though. Don't remember.
Of course.
I've got a very powerful thigh. And I have a penchant for a short short as well. I won't do
really?
It. Remember the 80s? Yeah. Glenn Hoddle short in the 80s.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to pop a pair of them on.
That's a lovely image for 9 a.m. on the school run.
And do your kids do much sport or afternoon clubs or anything like that?
Yeah, no, we do always everything. And I like to get them to do everything. And I like to get them to do things together. So if George is playing football, I like Henrietta to get in there and play the football as well. And they do football camps. We've got half-term moments. They're all doing camps this week. So they're all football camps and rugby camps and tennis camps, and take them to the golf club and do some golf. And they both swim.
My six-year-old's refused to do every club. She just said, nope, doesn't want to do anything.
Yeah, and they're good because they're quite outdoorsy. As I say, we live in the country, so they're good and outdoorsy. So riding bikes, all the stuff we used to do as well.
Lovely.
But then that's what I was like for me growing up, being out and doing all the stuff, playing all the games, playing every sport, cricket, football, less so rugby, surprise, none, athletic, all that sort of stuff, tennis. We used to play all the sports when I was growing up, and I enjoyed it. I was quite good at all sport. I was very sporty and quite sort of good at all sports. So that's what we lived for when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And fortunately, our children are the same.
It's been a genuine pleasure to talk to you, Anton.
I've got the finale question.
The finale question.
Which we ask all of our guests.
Before the thing, I said, well, we're going to talk about your book. And you said, it's a brilliant book. And it's not just Richard Osman that sells books these days. And I thought, he's going to do the hard sell here. But do you want to do a bit of the hard sell?
Well, I don't know if it needs it. It's such a good book.
There we go. That's perfect.
What's interesting, when I was approached by my publisher originally and about writing a book, I had this story in my head, and I wanted to write a spy novel. I've actually written, and I didn't know I'd written this. This is a surprise to me, but I was nominated for a historical romantic novel of the year award, and which was a delight. But it soon put to bed any ideas that I was a spy novelist. Turns out I'm not.
Thank you so much, Anton. The final question is, we ask everyone this, what's the one thing that your partner does that really frustrates you when they're parenting? And then what's the one thing that Hannah does when you're like, oh, she's unbelievable, that's amazing?
I'm going to be genuine now. There's nothing really in this regard that really annoys me about Hannah. Isn't that annoying?
No, it's true.
She is, I have to say, she is practically perfect in every way. She's the most incredible mum. Do you know what she is? She's everything I thought she would be. And we both come to having children later in life. And I knew her, obviously, before we had children. Wasn't the first thing we did. And I thought at the time she'd be an excellent mum. I thought, she'd be a great mum because I always knew she wanted to have children. I thought, isn't it funny? Because she couldn't have children. And I thought, isn't it funny? Nature works in mysterious ways. That the person that I think would be an incredible mum can't have children. That's a sad irony.
Yeah. Yeah.
And anyway, as well documented, we had IVF, so we were able to have them in the end. And she's turned out to be exactly the mum I thought she would be. Absolutely brilliant. And it is, I'm thrilled for me. Because I'd have 100 of them, by the way, because I absolutely love it. But I'm really thrilled for Hannah because she is amazing at it.
How long did it take? You're comfortable talking about the IVF?
Yeah, for sure.
How long did it take to come through?
We were enormously fortunate. We had one go, but it was sort of boot camp. We really did hardcore at it, and so it was really hard on Hannah. Well, I understand the process. The process is the process, and it. it can be really hard. The only way I can describe it is boot camp. I mean, your blood tests every day, injections every day, and it really is really difficult. And I think some people do have an easier time of it, don't quite have to go through. But we did it that way because, as the doctor described Hannah, she was a geriatric mother. Wow.
No, they're brave doctors, aren't they? Not me.
I like the way you did that down the phone.
probably a landline.
But so, you know, just all of that really, and I'm it's just wonderful that it happened, and she you know, and I'm sorry, because Hannah as well had endometriosis, which is a big sort of thing for women, certainly, and something that isn't spoken about very much. And I think she should do something like this to talk about it, really. Because, you know, it's like with all these things, men's health, women's health, the one thing everybody feels about it is they're the only person suffering from it, whatever it is. When you hear somebody in the public eye or that you know of talk about something that you have, it makes you go, if they get it, and then you go, well, what happened to them? And then it's sharing is, you know, as my children say, sharing is caring. And I think it's a great thing. And I think she should do something on it because, you know, it's been a thing for her life, as it is
for girls. Of course. And had you sort of resolved yourself as a couple that you weren't going to have kids then at some stage and then until it come off?
Well, potentially. But, you know, once we went, okay, IVF it is, let's go for it. And then bosh, we went straight into it. Yeah. But we're like that. If we make a decision to do something, we just go and do it. We don't do it right. In 18 months' time, we're going to do this.
All right, he's on it.
I have come home on a number of occasions to find various things, like extra dogs, the cat. We're getting a cat. Sorry, Daniel, I thought you said we're getting a cat. Yeah, we're getting a cat. Right. Are we thinking about getting a cat? Are we discussing the prospect of maybe getting a cat? Or are you essentially telling me that you've booked an appointment with the breeder and we're going to go and pick a cat up?
And have you got a cat?
We've got a cat.
I think also we found the thing that annoys Anton. We got there in the end.
Cheers, Anton. That was amazing. Good luck with the book and the rest of Strictly. And I think you're in Panto in Bromley, or did I make that up?
Bromley, Jack.
Yeah, I'll have to come down. Well, yeah, get tickets for that, buy the book. And Anton, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Anton.
You're a legend. Well done, lads. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks, mate.